The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him. And suddenly, angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Again, may God's love and peace be with you always. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about so many ways to be tempted, but there's one sure way forward. Now, I'm probably aging myself, so when you work with youth, I've been working for youth for 29 years, and I like to think of myself as young. They give me all that energy, but the truth is this song that I'm going to talk about, and Rob, you should know this, because you're kind of close to my age, and thank you, Heath. I asked him to get me a water here, and Rob, do you know all the songs by Paul Simon?
Most of them.
Well, there's one called 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Just one you want to say, and that one became released in 1975. I was 6 years old at the time, and it's on a Still Crazy After All These Years album. Now, Simon wrote the song following his divorce from Peggy Harper. It became Simon's sole number one hit as a solo artist on the Billboard Hot 100 since he left Simon and Garfunkel. Now, you probably heard some of these lyrics, and if you follow the 70s and 80s, you could be young in your 20s, 30s, or even high school and be familiarized with the song. And it says, "You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Oh, you hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free." Now, Paul Simon was not around at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, but Satan was, and he was ready to use any means necessary to thwart Jesus' work and ministry in today's gospel reading from Matthew on this first Sunday in Lent. Now, the striking similarity between Simon's song and Satan's attack is the ease with which both treat what they are suggesting as being of little significance. Now, Simon's repeated use of the word "just" hints at how seemingly unimportant his suggestions are. Like, just slip out the back. Just get yourself free. Just drop off the key and get yourself free. It's no big deal, right? Now, Satan's take on this was to use the word "if." If you are the Son of God, command these stones. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. It's no big deal, right? Big deal? Jesus certainly knew that it was a big deal. So let's look a closer look at this morning. We all know Jesus was tempted. Now, there are times that you may have wished for a special privilege because of who your mother or father was or is. And perhaps they started because they own their own business. Or they know the president of a company. Or one of them went to school with your teacher. Or your coach is close friends with your mom and dad. It's not that you want to shortcut the system, but occasionally it's a nice catch, a break once in a while, right? Yet, the one person in all of history who had every right to claim privilege chose not to do so. You see, Paul said of Jesus, and I quote, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited." You see, Matthew tells us that after Jesus was baptized, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Again, Jesus was led up by the Spirit. He knew this was going to happen. And indeed, Jesus did not claim privilege. In today's scripture, Jesus was tempted three times by the devil. And not because the devil snuck up on him, like I mentioned earlier, for the Father and the Spirit, this is important to know, the Father and the Spirit, they knew what was going to happen. So it is right that when we pray this prayer that we're going to do later in the service, the Lord's Prayer, we petition God to lead us not in temptation, but also know that God will be with us when the temptations come to us. You see, Satan prefaced the first temptation by questioning Jesus' sonship. If you are the Son of God. In fact, Matthew tells us that at Jesus' baptism, right before this time of temptation, Jesus had heard a voice from heaven affirming that very thing. These words that I love so much in Scripture. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This temptation is also reminiscent of the serpent's first words to Eve. Did God say, "You shall not eat from any tree in the garden"? Right from the start, one way temptations come to is to question God's word. You see, the tempter starts with a temptation, and we're going to be three of these. Dealing with the first is the practical. "Jesus, you're hungry. Why wait if you are truly the Son of God? Command these stones to become loaves of bread." And we know already that Jesus was famished, having not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus answers with God's word. "It is written," Jesus says, "one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Quoting from Deuteronomy, Jesus refers to a time in which God let people get hungry enough to try this new thing that I'm sure you've all heard of. It's called manna, which God was giving to them. See, God tells them there are new things in store for them which they cannot possibly even imagine. By God's grace, that is true even today for us. The second temptation again starts with, "If you are the Son of God," again questioning Jesus' sonship. "If you're the Son of God, show everyone and do a spectacular fashion." First we had the practical, now we have the spectacular. And in using God's word from Psalm 91, in the temptation, the devil challenges Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple so that the angels will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. You see, the devil is tempting Jesus to get a head start on his ministry by making a name for himself right at the beginning. Of course, he is tempting Jesus to misuse his sonship and exploit his divine power. And Jesus again answered the temptation by quoting from Deuteronomy, and again it is written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And in the third temptation, the devil skips the questioning of Jesus' sonship. Rather, he takes Jesus to a high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. You've all been to mountaintops. It can be a cool thing and see for many, many, many miles. And then he said to Satan, as I'm talking about, "All these I will give you if you fall down and you worship me. He offers Jesus the world, but he offers it at a price that Jesus will never and must never pay. And what does Jesus respond? Away with you, Satan. Jesus says and adds another command from Deuteronomy, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. You see, here Jesus recognizes the temptation as one that is personal. To give in to that temptation would change who he was and abort Jesus' mission on coming to earth in the first place as that baby in the manger. And then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him, as Matthew tells us from this morning's text. Now I want to talk about so many ways that we can be tempted. You see, if we're talking about temptation like we should, it's almost impossible to list all the broad categories in which we can be tempted in every day of our lives. And it's certainly impossible to list all the specific ways we are individually tempted. But taking our clues from today's scripture from Matthew, let's at least touch on a few of those major categories. The first temptation of Jesus dealt with practical things in life. We're less than an honest shortcut here or there would, we're quick to think, would make life better. You see, for Jesus, it was stones into bread. And for us, the possibilities are endless. Now, taking a shortcut and preparing a cheat sheet for tests in school where we didn't study enough could be one of those temptations of practical things. Or it could be possibly exceeding the speed limit. Maybe exaggerating the worth of something we try to sell online or from the classifieds. We justify all these things, right, in our minds by saying that no one's getting hurt. So what's the harm? And the second temptation of Jesus dealt with the spectacular, which would be exaggerating and stretching the truth. Lifting one part of our life for all to see, so the parts of our life which might be embarrassing for us will not be seen. Stretching the truth about what we've accomplished in our lives, lifting ourselves up at the expense of someone else's worth or dignity. And while no one is being physically harmed, we certainly are running loose on the truth, aren't we? Who knows what might happen because of what we first started? And the third temptation of Jesus dealt with him personally. You can have it all. Just bow down to me, the devil said. As we give in to these temptations, self-respect is thrown out of the window. Relationships are broken. Marriages end. Families are destroyed. Laws are ignored. Jobs and careers are lost. Dreams turn into nightmares. And health issues become health problems. That, this morning, is just a small sample of all the ways that we are to be tempted and to give in to temptation in our life journey as we try to follow Jesus. And now the question might be, is dealing with temptation, this is the good news. There is one sure way out that I want to leave with you this morning. You see, one thing stands out in our gospel text. No one gets out of life without being tempted. And we know this because Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted. Jesus was not exempt, and neither are we. So the question I have for you this morning, how do we deal with temptation? See, Jesus gave us a basic outline of what to do. And I want to share this with you. First, we learn and we live by the Word of God. Aiden read a bunch of that for us this morning from Scripture. You see, that is, do not try to live as if the Word of God does not apply to us. Of course, that means that we must spend some time in the Word, individually, and also together as believers of Christ. And that is the easiest way to do this, as this morning we are a local church, Mole Lutheran Church, which brought you here today. So that you can hopefully, I hope that you're feeling this, today I hope that you will feel both the love of God and also the love of the family of God of your brothers and sisters in Christ sin with you in these pews this morning here at Mole Lutheran Church. And second is that we should not put God to the test. That is, we should accept God's word and love and live in the bounds of that love. Now, many of you remember this. Probably younger kids, maybe not so much, but you guys all remember the WWJD? It was all over bracelets and t-shirts. It was kind of, I think it was about 10, 15 years ago, that this was a practice of previous years ago that seemed to have come and fade away. But really, and what it means is, what would Jesus do? Really, that's not a bad prescription, is it, for resisting temptation? To go back to the question, what would Jesus do? We found out what Jesus did three times in this text this morning. Third, Jesus said, we should worship with the Lord your God and serve only him. So as we seek to live and resist temptation, let our worship, not just this morning, but always, be centered on God and on him alone. And finally, on this first Sunday in Lent, we should remember that we serve and follow a loving and forgiving God. There is one sure way out this morning. We should resist temptation, but remember at the same time that God knows our strengths and our weaknesses. God loves us despite our failings and wants to be in relationship with us from now and into eternity, our heavenly place. So I leave you with this. We need to worship, to learn, to pray, repent, receive forgiveness, and to go out and serve and love and live out your life as a person of God, one in the body of Christ. To God be the glory, as God is number one. Amen.